Scott, can you? Okay, thank you.
Okay, you good?
Good to go.
Okay. I think we have a quorum here. If I can get an adoption of the agenda. Adopt the agenda.
I move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes. At this time, we have visitor communication for people wanting to talk about any items that are not on the agenda. Do we have anybody on the list, Carol?
We do, but Lyndon, do you want to speak? And you know, if I want to give them this included my topic. Oh, okay.
Okay, we have an approval. We have minutes to approve from April 3rd. Did everyone have a chance to go over the minutes?
Yes.
We'll have a motion to approve.
I have a question. The minutes of what month was that? April 3rd.
Wait a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank
Okay.
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay, Jen, I think you have an update for us.
Yeah, so in your packet, there was a power plant that went over the new park development that the SBRA is working on. And so I don't know if there are you guys going to show the power plant online or not? It's fine if you don't. I'll just use it as my guiding point.
Let me pull it up while you're talking.
As the Parks Advisory Board knows, SBRD has been working for the better part of the year with the school district to get into a lease agreement for the elementary school property. And in that property, obviously, includes the 8 acres of outside use. And so I'm just going to focus on the outside because that's the part that's going to be developed into a community park. And so our board has been working very diligently since August last year to be hired a consultant to come in and do a conceptual design. And we informed that process with going through, thank you, Scott, with going through information with the City Sisters Park Master Plan, our own needs assessment. And then we hosted two community engagement nights, which one of them saw upwards of 70 people in attendance. We opened up an online survey and I received a bunch of emails as well. And so this design process was informed by a lot of community engagement, we were told. And then what happened was the board went through a prioritization process for the amenities. And what I was telling the community, what I was reminding the board too, is that this is 8 acres. It sounds like a lot of land, but in reality, it's not. And so we're not going to, you know, if everybody's wish list is really large, and we're not going to be able to meet all those wish lists. So we can set the board can set priorities, and which they did, which helped inform the design. So if we
Jen, I'm gonna pause for just a second. Scott, with the presentation over Zoom, can you change the display settings? Because right now we're only seeing the presenter view, not the actual PowerPoint.
Okay, can you
So go to the upper side where it says display settings. Drop down
Yeah.
and then duplicate slideshow. That way we see what you guys are seeing on the other end.
That help? Does that
Yep, okay.
Okay.
That
Good.
now we should be tracking along. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right.
So the first site that we're dealing with, you guys drive by it probably every day, but you may not be paying that much of close attention to it unless you actually have kids on that site or have had a soccer game in that site. But what we have is we have an 8 acre parcel that is with the reduction of land with that, so that does include the reduction of the ODOT property. That property currently has a lot of risk or is restricted access. So the general population cannot access that unless you are there for a very specific reason, which is usually how people organize an outside group. And yes, SBRD is probably the biggest user, outside user of that property for our youth athletics. We have outdated amenities that are either just need to go away or are in need of repair. What you see here is you have in the upper right-hand corner, you have a dugout that is not in good condition. And to be very clear, nobody uses that. The kids aren't going in there trying to, you know, protect themselves from rain. And then we have, you know, these older clay structures as well that just don't necessarily meet industry standard as it is. And it's not multi-use. You know, we want the board really wanted to develop this into be a community park that was multi-use, multi-user. And obviously, that's not what this was designed to be because it was not designed to be. a multi-user park that's designed for elementary school kiddos, and it serves that purpose very well. So on the next slide, you know, one of the things that we talked about with the goals, we got these goals with working with the board, and then also with hearing from the community, was that we wanted a community park that served all ages. So cradle to grave, as the saying goes in parks and recreation, that increased ADA accessibility, that maintained space for current and future district programs, because one of the things that we also like to remind people is, as the other biggest user of that property, it doesn't make very much sense for us to overdevelop something and then have to turn around and rent additional space to serve all program needs. So it was really important that we maintain green space, because as you guys know, when you look at our parks in town, our parks aren't developed from edge to edge. There's a lot of green space that is maintained, and so that was really important for us. And that green space serves as a multi-use. We can do events there, we can do our youth athletics there, we can have open play for our camp programs and so on. And we also wanted to meet the needs that were informed by the recent and new outreach. And so on the next slide, you're going to see what the approved concept is for the topography. And I want to emphasize concept, because when you do design work, when you do work like this, there's all these stages. And as you go through each stage, something could change, because a plan is a plan, and a plan can change because you don't always know all the things. And so I think everybody involved with the city is very much attuned to all that information. But this is, you know, our next phase will be hiring an architect and doing surveying and doing the next phase of this, which in that process, there could be some new things that might have to change the location of some of these things slightly. So what you'll see here is kind of a key highlight. There's a lot of green space to maintain. You'll see this lovely walking path that goes around the perimeter of the park, and it accesses each of the new amenities. So somebody who is in a wheelchair, or somebody who's pushing a stroller, can easily access any of these amenities, as well as the fact that you'll see this integration of, so I'm just gonna start from the left and move forward. We have this great open lawn. Right now, the board has reserved that as a potential future development, but right now we're gonna leave it as open space because of the fact that we have lost a lot of green space, and we want to make sure we can still adequately offer our programs and not necessarily have to use that as overflow soccer fields. It'll be a tiny bit soccer field. It's not that big. So then you come into the park, you see these 8 pickleball courts, and we'll talk about those pickleball courts for a second. And then as you come further down into the park, you see the playground. So that playground has been everywhere in that park in our plans. Molly can talk all about that. And so we landed in that location because one of the feedbacks that we had heard from the community was, you know, when we use that park, we usually use it in a way where our kids are doing other stuff. And so, and the way it was designed, the park was actually in that open lawn space to the left, is there was a sight length issue from the park to that open field. And so we were hearing from some parents that, you know, that creates a little bit of an issue if you have multiple kids and you have kids wanting to be in 2 places at once. And as a safety issue, during we had some concerns with that. So we heard them. We also, by keeping it in that location, were able to keep one of the existing play structures that are out at the elementary school. There's one piece that got added with the most recent bond, that is in good condition. So we're able to keep that play structure and add another element to it to make it a new fun playground to serve the community. You'll also see now the orientation of that structure is gonna change. It's just more of a placeholder, but that building to the upper left-hand corner of the play structure, that is a restroom picnic pavilion combo. There was a lot of discussion at the last board meeting about maybe we want to actually separate those, which we could easily do. The bathrooms do need to stay in that location, though, due to the infrastructure that's coming off of that wing from the elementary school. That's where the plumbing and the picnic is. And then as we move more to the right of the park, you'll see that yellow rectangle up top. That is going to be developed hopefully over this summer. and will be a pre-K playground that will serve our preschool program. So that whole wing right there will be our preschool wing. And those could be the three rooms are becoming right out into that playground area. And so that design will be specifically for pre-K, and it will be open to the general public when preschool is not using it, which will be fabulous. And then to the right of that, we have an asphalted pad. And if you saw the first slide, there was a 4-square pad that had been just worn out because the kids were using it. So we're still going to work. We want to retouch that up and create basketball courts there. This drawing needs to be updated because it looks like there's going to be two hoops on one side, and that's not accurate. There's going to be four hoops, and they're going to be opposite sides, so you can play a shorter court game. But we're also going to be able to do 4-square there and hot scotch there. And we even have talked about doing a tricycle thing there that serves our program. So that will be a very a multi-use area, but the intention is also to have that cover so that in our lovely weather here in Oregon, whether it's raining or snowing or too hot, we have a shade structure that will help serve the community. And then there's nobody really cares that we care, but there's also a storage shed. So we're excited about that. You can see our storage shed. It's not as bad as a dugout, but it's close. So those fields that are on there, that's more of a visual. There's no infrastructure that's going to be there for those fields. It's just more of a visual of what you can put in there. And I do want to point out that this is with us removing that dugout and that backstop. And so we have worked very closely. Little League, who's the current user of that, literally have to use it. And they actually really supported it being removed because it creates more of a playable surface. And they don't really need a full developed field for that because there's other areas of town that have that. They just need play space. So before I switch to the next slide, do you guys have any questions on this? Okay.
Is this field going to be fenced or is it going to be open?
So it's going to be almost fenced. So obviously the fence along a highway 20 will remain. And then the fence along that open, there will be about a 4-foot fence that's along the parking lot. We're going to have an opening so that people can come in and out. But there will be a barrier between that open field and the parking lot as another safety issue. And so we want to make sure it's a welcoming spot. But we also understand that we don't want to just be a free for all from the park to the parking spots. And so there will be a designated opening area, but the kind of that as like village green, you know, and look, come in, you guys have that split rail fence. Are they probably these like cyclone just to tie in the existing list there? But yes, sir, that will be fenced. And it will be the goal is to have it to be a Osiris backwards dawn to dusk. So I would say that. and so I'm just gonna put it out there before people ask. There is no lights in this part. We're not planning for lights in this part. Doesn't mean that we can eventually add lights to the park, but that's not built in infrastructure. When we've been working with the city, you know, we understand like the dark skies policy. Different trains of thoughts. That if you add lights to parks, it's for security, or if you add lights to parks, it's actually inviting people to use it and slows. And so right now we haven't discussed lighting at all. And the pickleball courts, the intent is to build the infrastructure to eventually have it covered as a priority, as listed as a priority with in the city parks master plan, but as of right now, it will not be covered. So the pickleball courts, we actually were able to work with a local club, and they have donated a large amount of money that has been earmarked to develop those pickleball courts, which is wonderful because that actually allows us to help our future funding for this park, which I'll talk about in a second. And then the yellow part, we are able to fund most of, if not all of that, with a private donor. So we're excited about that opportunity as well. So if you want to scooch to the next slide, then I'll talk about kind of the highlights and I'll go over the funding part of it. So as we said, from 8 acres, dawn to dusk, we have gone from an open field that has a lot of a variety of amenities to a open field that has more amenities that serves all ages, and it also allows for a larger increase of ADA accessibility. And one of the things that we wanted to make sure that you as the City Parks Advisory Board understood is that we were able to hit a lot of the priorities that were listed in the City Parks Master Plan. This is a really good example of we do better when we work together, because that everything shouldn't be on the city's responsibility to accomplish all these needs. You know, the school district is able to help provide the needs and amenities with their land ownership. The Park and Recreation District is able to as well. And so this is a really great way to show that as a community, we are able to continue to meet the needs of our constituents, for lack of a better word. And so the next slide is the brass tacks, if you will. And so that whole project is slated to be $1.325 million in Joven Arrow. We have applied for a local government grant, which we have received in the past. We've received 3 of these grants. I know the City of Cistros has also received quite a bit of these. So this is a grant program that's funded by lottery dollars at the state level. Depending on the size of your community, you have to come up with a certain amount of match. And when the city does this, their match is lower because the city lines are smaller, city population is smaller than our special district. And so our special district, ours is a little higher. We have to come up with a 40% match. And so that 40% match is able to be private donations, other grants, volunteer time, district project management, and so on. And so our 40% match is made up of private donations, Jennifer time for managing the project, other volunteer time for, you know, the volunteer time it'll take to take down the dugout and such. And then that we presented to the City Council about a month ago, and City Council has agreed to earmark some SDCs to help fund this project due to the fact that it meets so many of those priorities within the city or Parks SDC. Yeah, so, and the SDCs, as you guys know, are system development charges that the city gets them for not just parks, but for other infrastructure, but we as the Park and Recreation District, we are not set up to receive those. And so that was a great, olive branch the city has reached out to us, and as we move forward with this grant. And so the grant I present to the grant board in the end of July, which is a month later than we thought it was going to be, and we should find out within a few months after that if we receive the grant. If we don't receive the grant, then we got to go back to that. I got to go back to the board and present a phased in approach. And so that will be what will happen, but hopefully we don't have to worry about that. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. We're really excited about this. It is a big lift, and but especially for our little Park and Recreation District, but I really appreciate working with Scott and Paul and Jordan and people who've really given us, you know, some advice as we've gone through this process. And I know we have continued to work on some other stuff with this, and it'll be fabulous, but it'll be a great opportunity for our community once this opens up to be on natural, but to be accessible if you want. So
I had a question about the 40% match.
Yeah.
Where are you on that?
We've got it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
if it's frank, let's figure it out.
And a lot of that was made possible by the city. So
I think you're going to write it.
Oh, we do that. We I sent it to the board.
Sorry, go ahead.
There you go. I know. People keep on saying, isn't that for this? I'm like, not yet.
You fit a lot into that. Yeah. Super impressive.
And we do, so we haven't really talked about the inside, and so what will likely happen when I talk to the board about this last meeting is that we might be doing a capital fundraising campaign for some of the inside improvements, but that's further to come. So it just depends on what our bid comes back then. So, you know, things don't cost you more money.
Any other questions for Ben? So much.
Do you have a name?
We have not named it yet. That's one of the things that I know the city was working on a naming policy, and I was telling Terry that whenever you guys have that seminar away, it needs a name, but not just the community part, because that's confusing. Which one? So.
All right, Scott, you want to put us into updates?
Yeah. When we were going through this agenda with Chair Elon, and he suggested that we didn't really have any specific items to add, any action items, but we did, requested a bunch of updates, which I think are good ones, and things that you might be interested in, things you've heard in the past and maybe wondering what's going on with that. The first one is the Sisters Community Garden. And since you guys saw that last, I can't remember if it was in February or whatever, but and it's since gone to a council work session. And so they got some feedback there. They, you know, there was general support for it, but there were similar concerns that you guys brought up, in terms of making sure they prioritize Sisters residents, first, given that Sisters residents pay their SDCs to help fund these things, and they should get the first crack at it. They showed a couple at the time. They were still between the Sun Ranch Park proposal and the Cliff Clemens. They kind of were still kind of throwing both out. Wanted to get feedback from council on both of those. With the Cliff Clemens one, I think Councilor Ross was the one that kind of said, hey, if you're going to do Cliff Clemens, try to do a plan that pushes all the way over to the western edge of the park to kind of preserve as much play space as possible. So they put together, I think it was version 10. I don't know what they're on by now, but they've done quite a. Luckily, they have an architect on staff that can draw these things up fairly quickly. But what one component that the group was waiting to do, that one key component was the public outreach, and we didn't have that at that time. So council's direction was to go get that feedback and then come back to us, and then we'll have that discussion. I don't think there was universal support for it. There were some folks that had some good hard questions about the use of park space, or use of, you know, semi-private or nonprofit use of public park space. There's a few that still need to be convinced. There's some that are very supportive of it. I think it kind of depends. It's going to depend a lot on what they hear from the public feedback. And Jennifer, I don't know if you want to chime in on the council viewpoints that that may have been uttered that night that I didn't cover. But I think the major direction was go plug this to the neighborhood and see what we come back with. We've kind of encouraged them to focus on the Cliff Clemens site, because the Sun Ranch Park site has some issues. We've explained those in the past. The proximity to the well, access is a potential issue. And then there's been some pretty organized neighborhood opposition up there to it. So all those factors kind of conspired to say, hey, let's focus on Cliff Clemens for now. Not to say that we couldn't go back to that, but so we had a meeting with them this morning to kind of catch up with them, and they are preparing plans for a neighborhood meeting on Saturday, June 29th. And they're going to do a mailing to all the folks that live within 250 feet of the park, kind of like similar to how we do our land use applications. They're going to put an ad in the paper. They're going to rent out the library space. So they're really just, I suggested that they put up a sign actually at the park, you know, for those people who use the park that don't live there, that would be affected, to get the notice out as widely as we can. So once they do that, then we'll have a better idea of the feasibility there. And there's still some questions out there whether council is going to support this or not, you know, just the concept of it or not. But there was definitely folks on the council that did support it. it's in the Parks Master Plan. You know, we went through that whole process, got this community input, and there's recommendations in there to support a community garden. So hopefully we can, you know, stay true to the plan there. But so that's what's going on there. Any questions on that? I think what will occur after this, if they get good feedback, that we'll go back to council, back through the Parks Board, through that process to give you guys an update and another crack at it. Council will be the one to have to kind of ultimately approve it, and then becomes, what are the mechanics of how much does the city contribute versus
the budgeting thing, right?
Yeah,
they haven't seen any of that
exactly. Yeah, Molly.
When will solicitation feedback be from the public? Would we pursue doing that, and for how long?
Say it again.
When do you plan on getting feedback from the public, and for how long? 2 weeks from now, and then
for a week
long to
say feedback. Well, right now it's the feedback is primarily focused on, and that's a good question to bring up. But we just kind of talked about this morning. But the idea was that most of the feedback would happen at the neighborhood meeting. I think they're sending letters to all the folks that live within this area, so I think there's an opportunity for people to interact with them directly. And then the feedback would take place that day, and then they would also have the ability to give people surveys. So if they want to write stuff down and provide it to the representatives and then to the city, because not everybody is comfortable speaking in a public meeting, so one opportunity is for people to be able to comment in writing. Your question, I think, it gets to, if you can't make the meeting, how do you comment, kind of thing.
Yeah, and if you're going to post, let's say, yard signs at the park, keeping them for one weekend, 2 weekends, you know, to try to make sure that.
It's a good question. You know, we've kind of been using, without a precedent, we're kind of using the city's land use process as a kind of a parallel. And I think we usually have those up for, what, 14 days. So. But I think your point's good about what if you can't make the meeting and how can you submit comments. So we'll think about that and make sure that gets included.
Council will be able to make a decision before January 1st when the officers are sworn in.
The group would like to be ready for the growing season in 2025. So I think they would like to have the decision made before then, well before then. Eli, Linda had asked to speak on the issue. Are you okay with making some comment now?
Yeah, come on.
You want to sit down here?
Closer to the microphone.
Oh, yeah, why don't you sit down here?
But you can sit in Scott's chair.
Oh, I'd sit in Scott's chair.
Well, I'm here as a member of the garden club. At Grand Peaks subdivision, which is right adjacent to the Sun Ranch property, of where the community garden is proposed, one of the sites that's proposed for that garden. As are my other three friends here, we're all residents of that.
And we all are.
this is the group. And three of us, the backs of our houses would face right there next to the park. So there are some issues regarding how the facility would appear, how it would be used, the kind of traffic that it would bring in, along with the type of infrastructure that would be necessary for the garden to work. So things like water, lighting, all of those things would still have to be brought in, whereas it's available at Clemens Park and not quite in somebody's backyard, which in our case, it would be adjacent to all of our homes. So that is a concern. It isn't that any of us are opposed to a community garden. A community garden is a very good thing. Where it's located is really of primary importance. So trying to locate it in a city park taking into consideration the people who are living adjacent to it, I think is a really important step. Also making sure that, I mean, truly, this would be within 3 feet of our yards. So it's a little bit close in terms of proximity. And when you're looking at greenhouses and you're looking at potential wind barriers, wind is a tremendous factor out there. I don't know if any of you have wandered along there, but this last week has been an experience that I know that we all have shared with the big wind, but it has been amazing out there. And I know that the garden has a big berm that they have built around it because they've had to deal with this in their current location. So all of these things would be put into this property. The Prem House sits in the middle of this, and they're proposing a driveway that goes around there. There's the greenhouse situation there, the individual garden boxes. So there's a lot of things that are going to go on this park. It's a small spot. And when you take in the 3 foot setback from the our rear fences, which is our property, the space that they have to utilize would be minimal and actually less than what they currently have. So my voice is really just to emphasize those concerns and hopefully that we can reach some resolution that this is good for everybody, good for the garden, good for us. And well, so that's.
You bring up good ones that are not just valid for your location, but also the funnels, because there are more neighbors that would be adjacent to the location.
Well, they actually don't back up directly onto the park. They have a road that goes around. So everybody is set back. Nobody's property is.
Hold up, someone's right there. The main
park. Yeah.
They're right.
Yeah.
Conceivably, more people are affected.
Exactly. Right. What I'm trying to say is there's more people that would be affected than people from the city.
Yeah.
So you bring a point up that what you're experiencing would also be.
Well, sure it would be, but they also have electricity, they have water, they have a bathroom.
Yeah,
and I'm not trying to pin one person.
No, but yes, no, you're correct. Everybody would be affected.
Well, Linda, thank you for sharing your concern and all of your comments. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you do know that that is slated to be a part of some sort, right?
Right
in the master plan.
Like, yes, actually, like, I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad.
Just so you know, it will be a park of some sort.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because actually, the pollinator park was approved, and there is a design for it. It was approved in 2018, and when I moved in,
it was considered.
Okay. Well, the message that I received, I'm in error there. Sorry. But the message I received was that it had been, and I have a plan that was somebody gave to me. So that use is a very different use than this, and it requires a different kind of upkeep. It would have a different user group. Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your feedback.
Okay. You're welcome.
Are you allowed to comment from the stand, or I've had to be on the paper?
Technically, you're on the paper.
There'll be plenty of other opportunities for comment. Yeah. If we go back to this meeting.
No, that's fine. I don't want to interrupt
you. Fair, we're just in a
meeting. We did my first school meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Yes, did I leave something up?
Yeah.
No, it was to your point, because I agree with you. I think the bigger issue is they're not French gardens.
Right.
They're functional gardens.
All right, Scott, please say work. Oh, yeah.
Okay, just quickly on this one, we queried you guys on the third sign, interpretive sign, the wording, and I don't think any of you guys have any concerns about it. And I'm not sure if they've actually installed it. Thank you for coming, everyone.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. I'm not sure if they've installed it yet or not. Maybe you guys know more than I do, but the bench has apparently been installed, and I need to take a walk over there. Are you guys all taking a look at it?
It looks good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it look awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's kind of you're starting to complete the improvements that they were contemplating out there. And then the next thing is the dedication on July 20th, I believe it is. So if you're around and interested, go check that out. And then I think Emmy's going to talk about some Arbor Day, which ties into some creek site improvements. So, Emmy, do you want to maybe we'll just jump to that now? Do you want to talk about Arbor Day improvements? Because they do relate to the Creekside Park.
Sure, I can talk about those things. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make sure to speak loudly. So it sounds like you guys just wanted to recap on what happened with Arbor Day. So that happened on Friday, April 26th, so a little over a month ago, but we hosted an Arbor Day planting event with 20 students and adults who are from the Pine Siskin School. I think it's based in the Belfry building, along with some other city staff and board members who were able to attend and help plant some seedlings at Creekside Park. So we had a medley of trees. We had, what were they? We had the aspen, dogwood, and some ponderosa trees as well. So we planted around 65 seedlings. We probably sent home about 30 to the attendees who wanted to take a seedling home with them. They were about 1 to 2 feet tall. And what else? Oh, we had around 45 tree seedlings left over. So I handed those off to Public Works headquarters, and they plan to use those trees to replant the vegetation around the new roundabout. So we'll make great use out of those leftover trees. What else? What made that this event a little bit more special is we partnered with Upper Deschutes Watershed Council to kind of program that event. And, you know, that's kind of what they do. They host elementary school and middle school classes and have tree planting events in riparian areas. So working with them was a really great way to program, give some really cool activities for the kids, make it more educational than anything that I'd be able to speak to. So I think it was a successful event. And, you know, a big shout out to Therese Kohler with the Urban Forestry Board. She was a big help with pushing to make Arbor Day a little bit more than what it has been in the recent past. And so I think going forward, we'd like to continue to make Arbor Day just a little bit more special. It does take a lot of, I'm the only one who plans these events. And so having some additional capacity from Therese on the Urban Forestry Board and any other board members who are interested in helping coordinate the event would make more events in the future more feasible. And so I think one of my key takeaways is seeking out those partnerships earlier on so that entities like maybe the library or some other organizations that are good at hosting educational events can help make Arbor Day tree planting events a little bit more special. Do you guys have any feedback on what you'd like to see for Arbor Day events? That's one thing I wanted to hear back about.
Love the community involvement, getting other organizations. I mean, like the school district, I love the idea of the library. I think there's a lot of growth opportunities for get started earlier in planning, and maybe we can find some volunteers from this board to help you as well.
I guess there's the, you know, last year it was on a Saturday, and this year it was like on a Friday morning, you know, so that's kind of, you know, different demographics that can be available to show up for that. So I don't know if one's better than the other. You know, if we're really trying to, you guys are trying to target kids, you know, then maybe during the week is good, but might be able to catch them up. We've already done.
That's a good point, because I depend on them, and then how to work data come up, so send them to adults and kids.
Thank you for organizing and doing it. Thanks for providing more trees.
Yeah, I think. You know, looking into next year, a lot of what we plan for depends on the site that we think needs trees that year. So let's say East Portal, if that is improved, gets to a certain phase that, you know, the ground settled, maybe there's some new vegetation that needs to be planted. That might be a good site to do some tree planting next year, maybe 2 years out. But I think I'll do a better job of kind of touching base with the City Parks Board as well as the Urban Forestry Board, just to kind of get some general guidance on planning earlier, getting some more help before we have the event next year. So I'll be keeping you guys in touch. All right, thank you.
We did a good job of climbing the rain right at the end. Yes. So for planting, everything's getting water. So it worked out really well. Good job.
Thanks.
Thanks, Emmy. Moving on, Parks System Development Charges. You guys got a presentation on that before it went to council, and you made your recommendations on the increases that were proposed to help account for the projects contemplated in the Parks Master Plan update. We also talked about the level service measurement that you guys recommended to increase up to 5 per acre. So we took both those things to council, and happy to tell you that they approved both of those the way you guys recommended them, despite some objection that were levied by Central Oregon Builders Association. A couple of the concerns were kind of a fairness issue. You know, we require developers to provide 15% of open space in their master plans, and sometimes they and that's resulted in some private parks in the community. And so their question is, why should they have to pay twice? You know, I think the response back is that that those parks don't always provide the kinds of amenities that we need, and they're not always open to the public. Some of them are, but I think there's a perception in the community that those parks are just for those residents there, and people don't go there because of that. So the other issue was, should we include the multi-use pavilion in the capital improvement thing? The contention there being that that this was a more of a tourist amenity, not a residential draw. I think there's debate there. I mean, certainly it's a little bit of both, but it certainly will be frequented by locals too. And then the third one, can't remember not requiring that employment, that business owners pay that ASTC charge. But despite that, the council held firm and said we're going to approve these. The effect of they go into effect July 1st. I think when they presented it to you guys, they showed kind of a range of what where our fees are relative to other communities in Central Oregon are. And even with the increase, we're still middle of the road. We're way below Barron, of course, and we're even quite a bit below Redmond. So I think our numbers are pretty competitive. So any questions on that? Okay, good. Dark Park, I put Dark Park at East Portal, and Paul Tart told me, we don't have any updates on the Dark Park. So other than we are taking the steps to start the phase one of the multimodal center for the East Portal, which will be the parking areas and the other facilities associated with it. I think there's some EV chargers, I believe, that are associated with it. It's like phase one, I think, is what we're doing first. And if you remember, that construction had to start first before we could contemplate doing the dog park over there.
So what's the timing like?
I think they want to start in the fall, I believe, if I recall, with construction. Is that what you recall, Jim?
I mean, this is here.
But... Yeah.
Yeah. So they do some construction, then they see if the dog park will work there.
I think just getting the construction, we didn't want to be on the site doing dog park when they're doing, that could be a staging area or whatever. Yeah. So get that done and then start turning our sights to how we can make that happen. Or maybe there's kind of at the tail end, we can start talking about how we can get that construction done. More to come on that, but we haven't forgotten. As far as I know, I don't know. Does anybody else know? Yeah. Just got an update on Arbor Day. So I'll skip to your urban growth boundary amendment. So we've kicked off this process. We've hired a consultant, created a project website. If you go on the city's website, on the homepage, there's an icon just for UGB amendments. So if you're interested in what's going on, you can go right to that. It'll take you right to the project schedule. You know, it'll tell you about the steps that are we're going through to get to a decision making point at the end. We just ran over here from doing interviews for a steering committee that we're going to form to help advise the city planning commission, the council on the process. And so we got 24 applicants, and it's awesome. I wish we could take all of them, because they're just we whittled it down to 13 to interview. It's going to be really hard to get down to six, because there's so many amazing qualified people. We're really trying to form a committee that represents every possible viewpoint. It's going to be hard with six people, but we want it to be a diverse committee that represents all different views, all different aspects of growth and the future of Sisters. And we've got some great candidates that we think will help us accomplish that.
Jennifer and I were talking, but I just asked you right now. I saw one of the members on there was a forest representative.
Yes.
What can we explain what you mean? Should we think that?
Yeah, that's just it's like somebody who can, you know, whether it be somebody in the agency, you know, forest agency, or somebody who's in the, I don't know, consulting business or whatever that knows forest issues, they can help advise us when we start maybe looking at areas that start encroaching on the national forest or other forest lands. That can be that expert in the room and kind of help guide us. We haven't identified that person yet. Do you have any ideas? You know, one obvious idea would be Ian Reed, the park ranger, would be the obvious choice if he has time. We haven't identified a farm interest yet. So if you know anybody, let me know. Is he, right? Yeah. Herman, is he on land?
Lazy Z.
Oh, Lazy Z, yes. I've heard that name. We'll find somebody amongst that group. We're finalizing the land need report right now, which is the document that will say how many acres of we need total and how many acres of each kind of land use we're going to need, including the parks. You know, with the raising of the level of service, that means we're going to need more park space. Jennifer's bringing a few more acres to the table here, so that helps. We're still going to obviously need quite a bit more. So that's a component. And at the right time, we'll bring that to you guys and run the studies behind across.
You need to count the community park.
What's that?
On a level of service.
I'm sorry.
You need to count.
Yeah.
That part on a level of service.
I think so.
Yes, it is
looking cool about it. Right. Because that is a good park.
I would think so, yeah.
Same hours.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Especially
if
you help.
Yeah.
If we're helping farmers,
yeah.
You should get credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. As long as it's not during the times there. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. So that, any questions about that process? I could talk for a long time on it, but if you haven't, like, go to that website, have some good information. There's a, you got some questions, Asa? Got your doubts? No.
So you'll keep us like informed as a group from time to time.
Yeah, that's like a standard update.
Not every time. We already have a group, but how it relates to the parks, I guess.
Sure.
Is like, you know, what we're most interested
in. Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
There'll be a lot of public
input. Yes. So with that, I'll say that's my updates.
Jen, technically it's back to you. Do you already kind of get out of there?
I just want to put it out there. Summer programs start here soon. So if you see our staff, give them a high five. They can make it through summer for like 10 weeks. And if you haven't registered for any stuff yet, don't forget, because things are coming up. So that's it.
The business open discussion.
Well, I didn't get an update on the ice rink.
Oh,
no.
We got SDG sergeant.
Well,
pavilion.
To that end, I believe that Paul has submitted for a grant to hire some consulting help to start talking about what is this multi-use pavilion center at the Northwest Park. What is that? It's a kind of a community driven process to kind of get to that. And does that include an ice rink? Maybe a full one. I don't know, but probably a smaller one if possible. But what does that consist of? It's going to be everybody's wish list piled all into one.
I had somebody ask me today they knew when the First Street splash pad
right.
Or if it is or
frequently asked question. Anybody know that one?
That's supposed to be the more
yeah,
it'll
be on. So
it may be on now.
I think so.
Press the button.
Yeah, yeah. Press the button. Yeah.
I'll go check it out after.
Put your ear down at the ground.
45 seconds.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think it is on.
It should be more
early
Labor Day.
Yeah, it says on.
Historical.
Love the, I went to the farmer's market, just great use of City Park, right? And then they expanded onto public or private land across the street. That was really cool. Yeah. See that, and the use of the city building, or you guys are leasing it to them, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. It was like expanded by three times, and felt like it was busy everywhere. So
yeah,
that was really nice to see the use of the city park in a novel way. So
yeah.
Anything else? Any other?
Business? I don't know if Emily had any comments up there.
Emily.
Hey, everybody. No, I've been listening. Thanks for the updates. No comments from me.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I guess we'll adjourn. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the thanks to Asa, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. We'll see what I've had to do in the park.